Welcome back to our discussion about psychology. I am Matthew Talbert. I'm here with Dr. Liz Mosley. And we're continuing our conversation regarding psychological disorders and psychopathology and abnormal behavior. And today we're going to talk about mood disorders. Now, when I think mood, I think happy, I think sad.
Right.
You know, kind of those basic emotions that we have. But a mood disorder is different than just happy and sad. So what are mood disorders? What are the mood disorders? And how are they different than just a regular mood?
Sure, because we all, like you said, we all experience mood and mood fluctuation even. Mm-hmm. But there are two types of mood disorders, and one is depressive moods, which are depressive disorders, which is kind of the sadness that you're expressing, mm-hmm. but it's an extreme. There are things like persistent depressive disorder, which is also called dysthymia, and it's at least 2 years of a mild depression where there's just sadness and despondency that is exaggerated and prolonged, unreasonable, those types of things.
Is that what people call like the depressive personality? They've used that term.
Yes, it definitely can be a part of that.
But it is a disorder.
It is a disorder.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the other depressive disorder is major depressive disorder, and these are the people that are not functioning. They can't get out of bed, they can't do anything much, they're just extreme depression, extreme sadness and worthlessness and fatigue, and just feel empty and can't feel pleasure and things like that. So those are the ones that, if they're not hospitalized, many times they will make visits to the hospital, mm-hmm. Because it's so extreme. But the other type of mood disorder is bipolar and other similar disorders. One is cyclothymia, and we might accuse teenagers of having it, but they really don't. It really is a abnormal behavior where people are really happy and really sad and really happy and really sad. And there's just kind of an up and a down, and up and a down, up and a down. But it's not, again, it's not super extreme to the point where you would call it bipolar 1 disorder.
That's just like hormonal.
Right. Yeah. And so then bipolar 1 is where you have extreme mania. What mania would be, that happiness you're talking about. But then again, it isn't necessarily just happiness. It can be irritability and anxiety, just that it's a high revving almost of the system.
There's like an invincibility that people feel.
Yes.
In a manic episode, they can do anything, and they often attempt to do.
To do anything,
yeah.
And that's where it really becomes detrimental, because mm-hmm. they will max out a credit card overnight and spend all their money and go gambling spree and all kinds of things. And then there's the bipolar, but they have that mania stage, but then they drop down into deep depression and it fluctuates. And the higher you go, the farther you have to fall, mm-hmm. so it makes it even harder.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the bipolar 2 disorder, and this person is mostly sad and guilt-ridden, but has had a manic episode, maybe a couple of them, but they're more mild than the bipolar 1.
So it's mild mania as opposed to full severe mania.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
All right. Well, that sounds really interesting, and I'm sure there are probably lots of good examples. I can think of a few off the top of my head. I know that that the actress, Catherine Zeta-Jones,
yes.
mm-hmm. has come out and said, yes, that she's dealing with bipolar, mm-hmm. and she's sought treatment. And a lot of those artistic types, it seems to be, there's a lot of bipolar. They're very emotional.
Yes.
And so
yes.
therefore very expressive.
Yeah, mood disorders are very common amongst the artsy type people and creative type people.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Those wonderful people.
Yes.
Now, what exactly then causes this to happen? I mean, if my dog dies, then I'm going to get sad. But
right.
but that's not necessarily depression. So
right.
there's got to be some sort of something that causes depression or causes bipolar.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that play a role. And there, one, you know, some of it is your biology or genetic makeup. Some people are more prone to falling into some sort of depression.
Is that like a chemical imbalance?
Yes. So there are things like, you know, your brain chemicals and transmitters, serotonin, noradrenaline, dopamine levels and things like that, that can cause a problem.
Right.
And that's why a lot of the medicine, is very helpful for mm-hmm. some people. Some people might say that gender plays a role, because women, their hormones fluctuate so much more, that they say women are more likely to experience depression versus men. But it's not quite proven to the fact that women are more likely to have actual depression.
Right.
But then again, with women also, the hormonal changes, the postpartum depression becomes a big
right.
factor, because all those hormones are rushing from one end to the other. And so that postpartum, after a woman has a baby, they go from a very high point of having this baby, and then a couple of days later, they just can't function well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the factor of light, which is a really interesting thing. People that live in the far north, where they don't get as much sunlight, they call that seasonal affective disorder. They have found that it is extremely helpful to treat that with certain kinds of light. And actually, they sit in front of it, this bright fluorescent light, for an hour, and it brings their mood back up.
Wow. So is that why there's so much partying in the Caribbean?
It's probably
the Caribbean
true.
Has so much partying because everybody's so happy because we have sunlight
Sun.
All the time.
But it is why spring, you know, people are happier and more motivated,
right, right.
And things like that. And then there's just that psychology aspect to it as well, where if you are repressing anger, some people define depression as anger turned inward.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're repressing anger, that can affect your mood.
Mm-hmm.
If you learn to be helpless, which we talked about before,
mm-hmm.
that will cause you to not be motivated. Just the cognitive theorists, they talk about that negative thought process.
Oh, yes.
And that negative thought press can really drive you down.
There's a couple of terms for it. Cognitive triad of depression.
Mm-hmm.
Negative thoughts about yourself, negative thoughts about your environment,
mm-hmm.
where you live or your family or whatever, and the negative thoughts about your future, all of those things contribute heavily into,
absolutely.
Into depression. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But now, what about the environmental stressors? I mean, do those really play a part? If my dog dies, you know, or something like that, if I lose my job?
Yeah, they can initiate some things, because if you have, you know, like, I am so attached to my dog. If he died, I would probably have I'd probably take the day off, or maybe a few days off.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not mentally, I don't have some of these other aspects in that play a role. So things like that can trigger maybe a little bit of sadness, but it really, unless it's extreme, or you don't know how to think clearly through it, or you have biological imbalances, so it can initiate, yes, but it typically does not actually cause depression. Just the dog dying, or
so it's the catalyst, maybe the trigger,
correct,
but not
correct.
The full cause.
It does not keep you in that point,
right?
So
well, it's important to remember that when it comes to psychological disorders, that one of the primary issues is this maladaptive behavior, this dysfunction that people feel when they're dealing with a disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So just feeling sad is not necessarily a disorder, but if those feelings and those behaviors cause significant dysfunction in the person's life, maladaptive behavior, that's when that can really be a problem and require treatment. All right. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Mosley. Very informative on mood disorders. And we will talk to you again very, very soon. See you then.